In 1968, the Beatles decided to do something no other band had ever done before, take control of their business affairs. Among the things their new company, Applecore Limited, would do would be to run a record label to release the Beatles' own records. But they also hoped it would be a place for worthy young acts to flourish, and to that end, appointed their friend Peter Asher to find some. 31 albums and 52 singles resulted, and Apple has just released Come and Get It, the best of Apple records, collecting some of the singles. Rock historian Ed Ward has a review.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up.
Here's a bit of Beatle trivia for you. The first single on Apple Records was by Frank Sinatra. According to the discography I have, Apple One was The Lady is a Champ and But Beautiful, pressed on one side. Only one copy supposedly exists, and is very likely in the hands of the former Maureen Starkey, Ringo's wife at the time. He thought it would make a great birthday present for his wife, and Sinatra agreed. Apple II, though, was, unfortunately, a worldwide smash. Ingenue folk singer Mary Hopkin was a Paul McCartney discovery, and if Beatles fans were shocked at his producing such a sentimental piece of schlock, they hadn't been paying attention. But sentimentality was in the air, as was obvious from another early single with which McCartney had nothing to do, by a Welsh band called the Ivies.
Listen to a lonely sound. See the gray and sadness all around. Of me and love I've lost today. Maybe tomorrow I will love again. I'll never know until I've looked into her eyes.
The Ivies' Maybe Tomorrow was a flop everywhere except Holland, but Apple believed in the band, changed their name to Badfinger, and had a huge hit with them a year later with Come and Get It, written and produced for them by McCartney. Some of the singles they put out defy logic. Why would the Beatles put out a sound-alike cover version of Golden Slumbers and Carry That Weight from the Abbey Road album by a Scottish band called White Trash, hastily changed to Trash after protests from radio and retailers? At least John Lennon was displaying a sense of humor when he had the company release a cover of Give Peace a Chance.
Everybody talking about this war and that war. Who's for and not for? The last war, the next war, and nuclear is not for. And what for? Damn love war. Childish, man. Rubbish.
All we are saying is give peace a chance.
This engagingly weird rewrite was also from a very odd source. The Hot Chocolate Band later became Hot Chocolate and had smash after smash, including the memorable You Sexy Thing. Another odd release was by veteran Cajun accordionist Lionel Cormier's band, the Sundown Playboys, who'd been going at it since 1945. The story was that Cormier's teenage son heard that Apple was looking for acts and mailed them a copy of the single, and either George or Ringo decided to release it. It was their label and they were having fun, so why not? Well, one reason was that nobody was really looking after the money, and that the recording studio they were building was eating up a lot of it. They were also hiring expensive help. Phil Spector was hired to scout American talent out of Apple's New York office, as well as to ruin what became the Let It Be album. There was an upside to this, though, probably the best Apple single that never saw a full album. Once grandiose and gorgeous, this George Harrison song gets a great production from Phil Spector, not least because the vocalist is his wife Veronica of the Ronettes. Apple Records outlived the Beatles as a group, but its best-known releases were albums. They set the pattern for independent and artist-owned labels, and as a few of these singles show, it was more than just an indulgence.
Ed Ward reviewed the new singles compilation, Come and Get It, the Best of Apple Records. It's been released as a standalone album, and it's also included in a new Apple Records box set that Ed will be reviewing in an upcoming segment.
Some folks want to be big wheels and stand up 10 foot tall.
You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Joan Tui Westman, Sam Brigger, John Myers, John Sheehan, Lauren Krenzel, and Heidi Simon. WHYY's chief content officer is Christine Dempsey. I'm Terry Gross.
Chaos.